Off the Ball, GAA.
Does anyone here think Millwall are going to win the All-Ireland final? No, thank you. So that question is nonsense. If the Barca supporters want to enjoy it, let them enjoy it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Inside the Odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your bet builder loses. NoviBet. More power to you.
18 plus. Play responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
All right, all right, all right. You're very welcome. It is the semi-final episode of this so far very unsuccessful gambling show. But we've got a winner today, don't we?
My hair's open.
David made the bet, so yes, we should have a winner.
David made the bet and sent the email, this week's winner.
Foreshadowing.
Either you're Alan Connolly or you're Reese McLennan. One or the other. Can't be both.
Yeah.
Yeah, which one do you
want? Trying to wish it into existence. Kind of.
Oof.
Yeah.
Some famous Irish sports people did embrace the secret, of course, and things didn't end that well.
Mm.
Anyway, I won't take you down Conor McGregor wormhole. Inside the Odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer. If your bet builder loses, NoviBet, more power to you. 18 plus, play responsibly, gamblingcare.ie. So, what did you go for? Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, go on, yeah.
Over 4.5 cards. This is for the England-Argentina game.
Okay.
Jude Bellingham, England, anytime goal scorer. Christian Romero to get a card.
Yeah.
Harry Kane or Lionel Messi, either player to score.
Okay.
33-1.
Wow.
Good price, isn't it?
Yeah,
those are some big odds. It's only a good price if it wins, though.
If you stick a tenner on that, and it wins, you get 340. You stick a tenner on that, you'll come away with nothing.
We were having a little bit of a brief discussion there about the yellow card situation, and I do think there is a world in which there's a lot of yellow cards here. There's a lot of different things that can happen that can all result in the eventuality of yellow cards. England, like diving. Argentina, like diving. Argentina, if they're losing, they'll get frustrated and they'll start hacking.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll start getting yellows. The England players, they'll start getting out with the referee. There's your yellow. Someone covers their mouth, bang. Right. You're gone, mate.
Is it straight right for that?
Yeah.
Well,
so there's lots of ways in which there can be a lot of yellow cards here. So, David, I think you're onto something there. But then again, it's going to be touchy earlier on. The referee might try to just keep a lid on it.
Yeah.
Just not jump the gun.
And not book the divers. Yeah. Or maybe book the divers and let stuff go. Semi-finals do tend to take on this weird life of their own, don't they?
Yeah.
So much pressure.
Yeah. With this the storyline around this game, I think is only going to increase from today into tomorrow. I see that the Atlanta police have increased their resources ahead of the game. A lot of talk about the Falklands and Las Malvinas. And I think this means so much to Argentina, probably more to them than what people in England and the rest of Europe realise. And with that, that's why I've gone for some tetchy yellow cards. You always fancy Romero to get booked. And Bellingham just playing too well that you can't back him not to score.
Yeah, and then there's very high likelihood of a penalty.
Harry Kane or Messi?
Yeah, you'd hope it falls to Kane though, right?
Yeah, true. Well, there's a world in which Argentina don't let Messi take the penalties anymore.
Do you think?
No, there's not. He's 100% going to take the penalty. I'm being pedantic there, I suppose. I'm joking, but
they should though, right?
Yeah,
this stage
it's. But then again, you see,
Clifford take one in the final if he gets it.
I think he will. I think
he. Shawnee normally takes.
That's true, actually. Yeah, that's a fair point. I don't think it's as clear cut actually with Clifford. Yeah, that's a fair point, but. The thing with taking the penalties off Messi is that it would add whatever psychological thing is already there as far as taking a spot kick for your country in the most high pressure environment of all time. You're also the guy who's taking it off the greatest player that's ever played football.
Mm. And then you miss.
Whoa. And then you miss, yeah. So,
But they should do that thing where Messi stands there until the very last second and then hands the ball over to somebody.
True enough, yeah.
And then there's no pressure. It's like, I
can't
do it.
Julian Alvarez.
Mantle onto somebody.
Yeah. Julian Alvarez could definitely take a penalty. Now, he has missed one or two in his time as well. Famously, that one for Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid in the Champions League. The old double touch.
Will he start after the goal?
I think he has to start, even though we were discussing it as well earlier today, but he hasn't played that well. But he's trying to play himself into form. He's still nursing an injury that he's had all season.
there is a bit where you don't play well into the quarterfinals, extra time, and then suddenly it's your tournament.
Yeah, exactly that. So, like,
I think Lautaro's having an effect off the bench too. Which
yeah,
is fine.
The thing is, like, I think Lautaro's been excellent as like a, let's say, defensive forward, someone leading the press, someone doing a lot of Messi's running, especially without the ball. But he's had some impact off the bench in the last couple of games.
Got his goal the last day.
Yeah, so I would imagine Julian Alvarez starts, and I would imagine he picks a pretty similar midfield. I think Paredes will start again in midfield. I think he's one of the more underrated Argentinian players over the last couple of years.
I just can't stand him.
I love him.
Oh, of course you do.
I love the way he just shitheads
people. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What's going on out there for the audience?
Mr. Argentine over there. Look at the top he's got on him. You can see it on the camera there.
Yeah, but like... Paredes...
Maradona with a stogie.
Yeah. And also...
late Maradona.
With Castro's hat on as well, famously. There's a picture in his box when he's in La Bombonera. And,
he has the hat, does he?
Yeah.
So that's a real picture.
Yeah, it is.
He's got the chains and he's got the Baca shirt.
It's actually the first thing I asked as well, if it was actually a picture of it.
Yeah, no, it's a
very famous picture, yeah.
Yeah, the iconography in Argentinian football is, something else. But, I think that, like, Paredes will start, McAllister will start, I don't know if Rodrigo De Paul will start, and I think maybe
who comes in there probably Almada or
Thiago Almada maybe or Nico Gonzalez has been excellent off the bench again, so that's the thing for Lionel Scaloni, like, does he still continue with backing his players off the bench and having that impact that they've been having over the last couple of games, or do you just go all guns out right from the start?
England are favourites for this with bookmakers. I'm just checking prices here, which is interesting. You kind of instinctively feel that an England win, take away all the outside noise and everything that's happened, you instinctively feel like an England win is more likely. And yet, I don't know if I'd be making them favourites. I do think it's going to be an England-France final.
Yeah, then I understand your logic though, yeah.
As soon as you say it, you're like, really? England to win a semi? I mean, I know they have recently, but...
Yeah, not in the World Cup though.
And they've often struggled against... See, this is the thing, right? They tend to go out with these tournaments against teams that are just a bit better than them. It's typically been where they fell short, and that's one of the reasons why they have brought in Thomas Tuchel, to get over that thing that they didn't feel Gareth Southgate was capable of getting them to go and do.
Yeah.
Now the thing is I don't know if Argentina are a little bit better than them. If you're going to apply that logic to this game, it's obviously a name of a team that you would class in history as being better than England, a better footballing nation, as far as success and in recent times as well, obviously having won the last World Cup. But I just don't know if there's enough quality in the Argentina team for them to go into this game and win it. Now, Argentina will, if they can appreciate that themselves, and they do have enough quality to beat them for sure, but I don't know if they have more quality than England.
We'd say individually that England have better players.
Yeah, but I think individually England probably have better players than every other country at this tournament, maybe in a battle with France. Yeah.
Or Spain?
Below. Individually, I think England's attack blows Spain's out of water. The only place on the pitch I think Spain have got better players is in midfield.
What about Lamine Yamal?
He's just not playing as well.
Mm. Yamal is better than Madueke, fine.
Yeah, I think we all agree, right?
Yeah.
You're not,
yeah, I'm not suggesting he's not.
Ideally, you're not picking Madueke to start unless you're Thomas Tuchel, which obviously is kind of important.
Yeah.
But, his effectiveness so far has not been at the level that we thought it was going to be.
No.
That doesn't mean it's not going to, again, he hasn't suddenly found some fitness by playing all these minutes.
Yeah.
See, in GAA, you'd be like, oh, he'll come on for that game. In soccer, it's like, he'll be exhausted for that because he's not fit.
Yeah.
It's an interesting...
It's like he's trying to play himself into form a bit like Julian Alvarez.
For sure, and he showed signs. He's had moments. There was a moment in the Portugal game where he skinned Nuno Mendes and Nuno Mendes had to come off after because he'd done him that bad.
Yeah.
There's signs of life in him, but I think you're right. He doesn't seem as though he's quite well. Yeah. Maybe he was at the last Euros. But back to the England-Argentina game, I just think that... England might just have a little bit too much for them.
Yeah.
Personally. But they'll make it a dogfight if it is trending that way. If the first 10 minutes England are, first 20 minutes, first half an hour, first half, England seem to be having more possession of the ball, which they probably will, and are playing the better football, which they might be, Argentina will resort to what they have resorted to over the last 4 years when they've had all the success in the Copa America and the World Cup, and they'll try level the playing field.
I think that's a bit harsh.
I don't think so.
I think that's a bit harsh. I think Argentina have played quite a nice brand of football that we've seen, especially in 2022.
Chaotic football, I think.
But that chaotic football is fun. The verticality of the Argentinian team, I think, is better to watch than some of the European football the European teams that we've seen at the World Cup.
I wouldn't disagree.
Norway play side to side a lot, even in that England game, especially against Brazil as well. And they try to nearly lull teams into kind of a semi-slumber, and then Haaland obviously kind of sprung to life and would score goals. He didn't do that, obviously, against England.
You'd say Spain and Portugal aren't a million miles from that.
Spain and Portugal, yeah, was pretty much a bore fest. France have played the best football.
Yeah, by a mile.
And you just enjoy watching France. I think you could watch them all day, every day, just with the sheer quality. And even like the shape of the team, like a 4-2-4, bit of a Brazil 1970 throwback or Brazil 1982, just kind of, you know, getting the best players out in the pitch. And then when those players are a little bit tired, bringing on even, you know, the players of the same quality again. So, for England have, like, England are a functional team.
They are, yeah.
And they play, like, they use their physicality maybe more than the rest of the teams that are at this stage of the World Cup as well.
Argentina didn't play that kind of style of direct vertical against Switzerland.
I think they
struggled to
break them down.
To do anything, really.
Yeah.
And I think that a similar thing might happen.
So you can just do what Switzerland did and have slightly better players, and that's what sees them through.
Yeah.
That's the oversimplification, the gross oversimplification of what we think is going to happen.
I don't know. Yeah, that's what I think is going
to
happen.
I think it's going to be, I'm just looking at the odds for both games to go to extra time. On Novi Bet, the accumulator is 70-2 with their super odds for two draws.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could also see a weird world where France blows Spain out of the water. I don't think that's going to happen. I wouldn't, if you put a gun to my head, that wouldn't be my assessment, but I could easily see it happening.
Yeah. France haven't had the greatest records against Spain. The 5-4 Nations League game last year.
There was a Nations League one before that as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, and then there's the Euros as well, where Spain beat them 2-1.
Yeah.
In that Spain 5-4 game, it was 5-1 with 11 minutes to go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did play them off park that day, yeah.
So,
that would, based off what we've seen of Spain in the World Cup so far, though, it would be a fair assessment to say that Spain team was slightly better than the one that we're watching at the minute.
And less likely to concede the four goals as well.
Yeah.
You did only concede the one, yeah.
The other thing is, was that not at a period when Mbappe wasn't quite at the level he's at the minute?
Exactly, yeah.
He does just turn up at the World Cup, doesn't he, as well? Like,
because Elisa is playing so well, are we underrating how amazing Mbappe has been?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like, it's not cool to go, oh, Kylian Mbappe is the best player in the world. Or, Kylian Mbappe is really good at football.
He is.
But actually, this is like, it's a bit like Clifford. So, well, of course he's going to do that because that's what he is. You're like, no, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
It's outrageous that he's reaching these levels at a World Cup again.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah, arguably greatest World Cup player ever. And he's not even, was he 27?
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And like the leader of that team as well. I do see, like, when you watch Argentina, you know, in the entire squad, I think, of that 26, I think all 25 of them would take a bullet for Messi. I think Mbappe is nearly going towards the same levels with France. I think they all really do respect them, and that Rabiot Mbappe beef seems to have cooled, and Deschamps is, like, you know, bowing down to Mbappe when he's coming off the pitch. It seems to be a bit more of a collective love in with the French squad, which it obviously haven't, you know, traditionally haven't always had. And that's why maybe France and Argentina are the two teams that are likely to get to the final, because the kind of team camaraderie, it just means so much to them to get them through. I don't know if the England players like each other as much as what the...
It's hard to tell, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a bit of performativeness to it, I think. That there definitely isn't with France and there isn't with Argentina. It is very authentic.
Yeah.
The England one might be authentic in their own little way, their David Brent sort of way.
Yeah,
but it is our way. Like I suppose
after the Mexico game, interestingly, the quote that kept, or the word that kept being used, was brotherhood, and it seemed very forced. Whereas with Argentina, you can tell that they love each other. They love Messi. They love Scaloni. They love the rest of the staff. After every game, it's like a big asado, and it's okay, maybe it's not good for their fitness or their health, but for their camaraderie and for the maybe what it brings them together as a group, I mean, it probably means a lot.
Yeah.
And
the truth of the Tuchel Bellingham stuff.
I think it's intentional.
Yeah.
On Tuchel's behalf, I think he likes to have a bit of a spiky, frosty relationship with some of his players to try and get the best out of them. I think he's been picking at Bellingham in particular for not just this tournament, but for a while.
Him and his mum, yeah.
And that's like arguably getting the best out of Bellingham in this tournament.
I do think though that Bellingham doesn't like Tuchel. I think Tuchel's doing it, and Tuchel doesn't care about Bellingham liking him, I would say. And he's like, whatever's going to get me the best, whatever's going to be the best here, I'm going to do. But yeah, Bellingham is an interesting one.
So, definitely intentional when he's like, I'm not even sure he's going to make the team. I don't know. I'm going to leave out of the squad.
That's the fair point. I know where you're going with
But the bit where he's just in the moment immediately after, like, this is...
Yeah.
I don't know if it was intentionally directed at Bellingham specifically. Bellingham biting back is interesting.
That's my point, is that I don't think Bellingham's having him because I agree with you completely. I don't think that Tuchel said, oh yeah, we didn't play technically really well in that game as a pointer at Bellingham. I just think Bellingham,
he was your superstar.
I think it was a collective thing, and then obviously Bellingham is the guy that obviously was man of the match, so he's doing all the press after the game.
No other players doing that though.
Initially
Harry Kane was like, yeah, he's probably right.
Got a lot of work to do.
Fuck you.
Initially in the
was it
was it the ITV interview initially? He kind of tried to palm it off, and then it was in the mix zone after where he doubled down.
Yeah. There was two different ones. There was the one where he says, whatever. And then there's the one where he goes on about
Odegaard and Haaland. I think it's kind of a healthy thing, to be honest.
Do you know what? It's one of them. If they go and win the World Cup, it's healthy, it's genius, it's brilliant. And if they go and bum out here on Wednesday evening, then it's the biggest disaster, and it's classic England, and it's, you know, the media against the players. That's the way it'll go.
I think England have got to the stage where they should be at. Like, we have the highest ranked four teams for the tournament.
Anything
in
from
the semi-finals.
This now, if they go out, it's not a disgrace, you know.
No. Like this, they've kind of
beaten in the last round.
No, but that's what they'll do, though. If they lose to Argentina, it would be pointed to the fact that Bellingham and Tuchel don't get on. That would be the big story. Like, it will.
I don't know.
100%. But I can guarantee. I'll put the winnings at his bet on it.
I'm looking forward to, you know, the long reads in the Guardian or the Athletic or the Independent or something. That's like, oh, you know. The real story behind England's failure to win the World Cup at 2026, and it'll be all these team meetings and, you know, what the atmosphere is like at their Kansas City training ground complex and different things. That I am looking forward to that, but I think, Tuchel has guaranteed himself the England job for the next 4 years if he wants it. I don't think there's any possibility there where they're disgraced on Wednesday night.
I agree,
the game will, John Giles used to always say, the game will be on its own merits. And yeah, if Argentina, you know, perform, get the rub of the referee maybe or something like that, that's when the English media will go into overdrive. But I think...
Oh yeah.
They'll buy into all conspiracies. They'll be tweeting videos of David Clifford scoring a crow power.
Yeah. I mean, look, they have been Kerry-esque in their successful coming out on the side of 50-50 calls.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, sometimes the best team gets the biggest calls from the referees. It's just the way life goes.
You give them a decision to make, know what they say.
Yeah.
I can't get over it. I know, like, we're looking ahead to semi-finals a lot. I just cannot for the life of me understand what Breland Bolo was thinking the other night. I cannot. It's just one of them where it will never make sense to me what he was doing.
Yeah.
Doing it at any point, in any situation, in any game, in any circumstances is crazy.
Imagine some of the Irish did that and it was that stage of the tournament for us. How long do you think you'd be in the national doghouse?
Well, Ryan Manning pulled the lad's shirt and he's still getting pelted.
Yeah.
And that'll be held against him until we go and achieve something. So if he did what Breland Bolo did the other night, you may forget about it.
Yeah.
Say, like, you missed a penalty in a World Cup shootout. We forgave them all eventually.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Kev.
Kev is...
We forgave Kev pretty quickly.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, we didn't really. We came after he came and started working with us. Yeah. We're like, actually, you know what? You're a lovely fella.
Yeah, your services.
But until then, it was like, ah. Yeah.
But it's the same. It's the same with Alan Brown and Finnazaz. Like, Alan, like they're still going to get that for a long time. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ideally, they wouldn't. You know, I'm not suggesting that they should, and I wouldn't hold it against.
No, I don't hold it against Alan Brown. Big balls to go back and do it again.
Yeah,
it's the wrong decision for the manager to let him do it.
That's a fairly.
Do we fancy penalties in either of these games tonight or tomorrow?
I think the England-Argentina game has all the hallmarks of two teams who just can't quite. They're a bit constipated at the moment with the attacking stuff.
I tend to agree with that. Yeah, they like all their games have like Argentina going extra time with Cape Verde, just about getting over the line. The Egypt game right at the end, going extra time against Switzerland. Then you look at England going extra time against Norway, very late win against the DR Congo, and a game that. You know, on another day, probably would have gone to extra time against Mexico if they had any sort of quality in the final third towards the end.
Yeah.
You know, all of them games on another day could have been draws.
Who's got better penalty takers?
Well, it's like you say which team and then suddenly half of them are gone.
Yeah.
It's Martinez and Goals is the trump card.
Yeah.
Who I expect to read tomorrow is signed for a release clause of $3.5 million to join Juventus.
Yeah.
The way things are going at Villa at the minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. He is just like.
Apparently, it's $10.5 million they've offered for him as well. Something ridiculous. Yeah, they're like, well, we want to keep him now.
Villa's shutting up shop. Little closing down sale.
He did say to Johan Mzambi after stressing again, oh, you're going to Villa. He was like, yeah, oh, brilliant. Yeah. So,
on the pitch. Right?
Yeah, good luck to you, mate. I won't be there.
Yeah.
Okay. You're calling it for an England win after extra time? Or on pens?
I think just a narrow England win in a tense affair, either in the 90s.
I think if it goes to penalties, England get beaten.
Because of Martinez.
And just because the weight of history on English players is so heavy.
Yeah.
The abuse that the players have seen their teammates suffer, that some of them have suffered in the aftermath of penalty shootouts. It's too much.
Yeah, do you know what? I hope I'm wrong, but I'll go Argentina in normal or extra time. Argentina before penalties would be my prediction for. England.
I was going
to say, I did that here the other week as well. I was saying something. I was like, why have I said that? Do you know what? We were doing predictions that Australia were playing Egypt. And I just said, I think Egypt will win. But I was like, I actually didn't think that at all. And then I switched my mind. I think England are going to win before penalties.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't it mad that Messi's first game against England is.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is tomorrow night. That last time they played was 2005, a friendly in Geneva.
Why was that there?
I don't know. I think it was.
FIFA.
Yeah, probably offered them loads of money. Yeah, I think England in normal time, just to get over the line.
Oh wow!
Hope I'm wrong.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So this is at a 11:45 on Tuesday. Obviously, the game tonight is France and Spain. I can see France blowing them out if there's going to be a blowout.
Yeah.
Or this being a cagey, very similar to. Portugal game for Spain and not a million miles away from Paraguay game for France. Like the best defence in the competition coming up against arguably the best attack in the competition. You always hear that defences win championships.
Yeah.
France in the 90.
Yeah, I think France beat both England and Argentina. But I think France, if they're going to lose the game, it'll be this game against Spain. Spain have had obviously their number over the last couple of years. A lot of them are teammates of players they'll be playing against. I think Rodri's slowly come back to his best.
Rodri's been brilliant this tournament.
Yeah. They have, without having like two exceptional, well, Pau Garcia is probably going to be an all-time great for Spain and Barcelona. But like Aymeric Laporte is playing beside him, who's like a good defender. But the structure of the team and the fact that they dominate the ball generally means that they have a really good defence and they don't concede many goals. Are France going to make the most out of the small attacking opportunities and the probably less amounts of ball possession than what they usually have? I would imagine they would. And like Michael Olise and Mbappe are playing too well for them not to be stopped over 90 or 120 minutes. So that's why you'd kind of still stick with France. I still think France will have to be tested yet defensively.
I do think there's a world in which they go through this tournament and win the World Cup without us
knowing that.
I do think they're capable of doing that. Yeah, and I think you're right. You named a couple of the forwards there, but there's three or four others as well.
Yeah,
we've saw Ryan Shirky for 20 minutes in this tournament. Like, yeah, I know we're probably not going to see him now. That's obviously a thing, but that just shows the quality that they have do have above him there as well. And I know you've mentioned this before as well. And their defense hasn't really been tested. And we've seen someone like Upamecano, who's been typically actually very good for France, but he's capable of dropping a bit of a clanger. Like he's done that before for Bayern Munich. Luka Dean probably better going forward in his defensively. Maybe I'm off on that one. But I do think their midfield is probably something as well. That the Spain midfield is on paper excellent with Rodri and Pedri. Pedri hasn't really turned up this tournament to the degree in which we expected him to. He might do tonight, and I think if there is a path to victory for Spain, it's getting the leg up on that France midfield.
It is, and that also Nico Williams got 15 minutes at the end of the game. Do you put him in from the start so that then suddenly they're like, ooh, there are two wingers here. We haven't seen this at all this tournament.
Yeah,
and suddenly the doubling up that we're doing, that we're able to cheat over to create an extra body when you have Lamine Yamal, we actually can't really do that. And suddenly Lamine Yamal is more in the game. Simply if he's out there running, he doesn't have to do much.
It's just a
semi-decoy.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
the longer the game goes on, I would favour Spain.
Yeah. You know,
as in if it's still a contest, we're getting into the last 20, 15, 10 minutes.
Spain have, like, you know, players that they can take off the bench that are game changers, as in like Mikel Merino, Fabian Ruiz.
I don't think they'll start Nico Williams.
Torres has been very good when he's come off the bench. He's much better than Ayartabal the Portugal game.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Fabian Ruiz like started the last game, but like he came off the bench in the previous games. I think he's been on the bench four of the six Spanish games. So
yeah. You smash him.
He's a three-time European champion, two-time Champions League, one obviously Euros winner. He's a brilliant midfielder. Obviously plays in France.
Yeah, true.
You know, like, is there a case where he does something and scores the winner and
isn't that back into Paris?
Yeah, something like that. And like Martin Zubimendi hasn't even played any minutes yet. Which is mad. And I think that's a case for a lot of the teams in the tournament. Like we were talking about Argentina earlier, and they haven't used like Nico Paz or haven't used Giuliano Simeone, like two players you thought that they might use, especially for pace and for something different to the
players. It's something that they did at the last tournament as well, when things weren't going swimmingly at the start of the group stage. That's when Enzo came in, and that's when Julian Alvarez came in, and it was like, okay, right, we're going here now, and for whatever reason Scaloni's opted to stick with the guys who did it for him the last time. But there's a world in which there's guys like that. Like, you know, Thiago Almada started the opening game, I think. Haven't seen a whole lot of them since. But there's guys like that, you know, that can be game changers across the board. That's not necessarily just for Argentina, but they're just the example of
for this tournament. Both gone for a France in the 90.
I think France in the 90, yeah. But Spain will give it their fill, I think.
So France are 8-5. Spain are 23-10. And the draw is 11-5. This is one of those lines that you look at and you go, they actually don't really know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
Any of the three outcomes.
It's such a unique stylistic matchup, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the polar opposite way of approaching football.
Yeah.
And maybe that means it's going to be a classic.
Yeah. Or maybe it means it's a damn squib.
Yeah. Really hope it's not the stalemate that the earlier ones are. And in fairness, like, if Spain play the way they did against Portugal, France will beat them because France have 11 players on the pitch.
Yeah. Hopefully, we all thought that this was the tournament, that this would be Lamine Yamal's tournament. And like, hopefully maybe tonight he does something special, like he done that Euro semi that time in 2024, maybe scored an absolute screamer. So, this is serious.
It's so exciting though. It is so exciting.
It's really like these next three games, as in the two semi-finals and final, is like why we watch football, why we love football. Like, this is, it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah,
enjoy it. Inside the odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final Bet Builder leg? Get up to €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your Bet Builder loses. NoviBet, more power to you. 18 plus, play responsibly, gamblingcare.ie. Cheers, folks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart.
Inside the odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final Bet Builder leg? Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your Bet Builder loses. NoviBet, more power to you.
18 plus, play responsibly, gamblingcare.ie.